It's a real pleasure and a privilege to be here this evening. I don't know what to say after that introduction, but I want to bring us back down to earth again a little bit. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that's the story I want to tell tonight, a story of my testimony. But before I do that, I would want to acknowledge the friendship of your minister here in Armagh. I know he has told you a little bit of the events that we have been through over the past while, but since this is my opportunity to be here tonight, I want to acknowledge to Almighty God his grace and his leading and guidance on that particular day, that by in his providence, the two of us went through that incident in Dublin Airport. It is an experience that I will never forget, and as I perhaps relate a little bit of the leading in my life, particularly over the past few years, you will see a little bit how that has influenced where I have ended up in the journey that I am now on. But it is a pleasure to travel with your minister. He's always got plenty of stories to tell. I often marvel at his memory as to how he can remember pieces from books or stories from people in the past. But it is a pleasure to travel with him. It's a pleasure to work with him on the mission board. I find him agreeable. Yes, he is agreeable in that work. And we get on very well together, together the officers of the board and the mission board. So it's a pleasure, Mr. McMillan, to be here tonight in Armagh and to share a little bit of my testimony. Now, you probably already know a little bit of me before I even stand up here tonight. And while I tell my testimony here tonight, you may think it is a story perhaps of a young man, an impatient young man, you will hear in a few moments, who left school in the middle of his A-level year, impatient to get out into the world of work and progress to, in the glory of God, progress to being on the board of one of the largest companies in Northern Ireland, ended up in one of the highest profile public sector roles in Northern Ireland. Yes, that is a little bit of my story, but my story is much more than that. It is the story of a young man, a sinner brought into this world, and a sinner saved by grace at the age of 7, and not only saved, but now progressively, increasingly serving the one who saved me. And that is the story I would like you to remember. Yes, I'll tell a little bit of the other to the glory of God tonight, but it is a sinner saved by grace that I would like you to remember tonight. I want to bring glory to God, not to man. The journey that I was on, I could never have made that journey on my own strength. But tonight I want to give glory to God as we remember that. I would like you just to read a few verses from God's Word in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, very well-known verses in the Bible. Romans 10, if you could turn there, please. And we will start with that very well-known verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. I suppose all of us probably in this room tonight could quote that verse. But we'll read it in a few others. So Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll just end our reading there at verse 13, and it's that verse in Romans 10 and verse 9 I will come back to, but we pray that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word here tonight. My testimony breaks into three or four different pieces, and I've been given very strict instructions on time tonight. So I'm going to move fairly quickly through it, just try and cover all of the areas that I would like to cover tonight. But as you've already heard, I was saved as a very young boy. I was brought up in a Christian home, in a Brethren background. My mother was saved actually under the ministry of Dr. Paisley. She went to a Presbyterian church, went to a mission that Dr. Paisley had in Ballymena, heard the message of the gospel there and was saved, continued to attend her Presbyterian church, met my father, who was from a Brethren background. He was unsaved at that time. He was unsaved whenever they get married. But he, to the glory of God, got saved 2 years after they were married, 3 years before I was born. So I was brought into that environment. They both, whenever that happened, they both moved and started attending the Gospel Hall in Harryville in Ballymena. And that was into that environment I was born and brought up. I know that I was prayed for often before I was even born. And I was, I would say, steeped in the gospel as a young man. I'm sure even in this part of the world, people know the traditions of missions in the Gospel Hall. I attended two Sunday schools on the Lord's Day, two services on the Lord's Day. I then, probably by the stage I was seven, I had attended scores of gospel missions around the countryside. And I know we often complain in Free Presbyterian circles about missions that go on for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Well, in the Gospel Hall in those days, and I suppose today still, some of them went on for 10, 12, 14 weeks. And that was the world that I was brought up in. I cannot remember a time in my life whenever I did not know how to get saved. My earliest memories were about attending the hall and hearing very clearly the gospel message preached time and time again. But one of the things that really troubled me as a young boy, whenever I was growing up, 5 or 6 this started, I was worried about the Lord's return. Now, I'm not going to get into those matters tonight because there's men here would debate that behind me, but nevertheless, it was used in my life. I feared the Lord's return. I believed that the Lord could return at any moment, and I feared that my mother and father would be taken. I knew I wasn't saved, and I feared that I would be left behind. And that was the big thing that troubled me. And I remember as a young child in the middle of the night getting up and actually going downstairs and making a noise or going to the bathroom making a real noise so that I could hear my mum or dad get up in the middle of the night so that I knew they were still there. And that was the thing that really, really troubled me. And as I progressed 5, 6, I came to a point where this was troubling me so much I knew I needed to settle and become saved. And it was like that in my mind. I knew I had heard the gospel so many times. I just thought in my own strength that whenever I got to that point, it would be a very simple matter of just trusting in the Lord and being saved. But it didn't happen that way. The more I tried, and it was all of myself, I know now, but the more I tried, the more the door seemed to be closed because I was trying in my own strength, my knowledge, my experience, even as a young boy of 6 or 7, trying to get to a point where I could get saved, as I put it at that stage, and yet it didn't happen because I wasn't trusting in the Lord. I was trusting in my knowledge. And this went on for months where I really, really had come to the end of myself as a young boy. I just did not know where to turn or where to get assurance or the matter settled. And then one night, my father was reading, and we read from this verse. He didn't know the full extent of my troubles at that time. I was at that time, and probably still am, one that keeps quite a few of these things to myself. He was reading, and he read this verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he said, it's just like whenever you go to sit in a seat, you trust that seat will carry your weight. You don't think too much about it. You just completely depend on that seat to carry your weight. And through that verse and that explanation that night, suddenly I stepped back from all of self and all of the things that I was trying to do, and I just prayed to the Lord that he would give me the faith to trust in him in the way that this verse says, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that night, as a boy of 7, I was miraculously saved after many months of torment and trial up to that point. And perhaps maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're the same. Maybe not 7, maybe 40, 50, 60. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. Maybe you are content in your own life and progressing along your own life, knowing that you know how to get saved and that you know perhaps at appropriate time, maybe in a time of trouble, in a time of health or illness, you think to yourself, well, I will be able to get saved at that point. I think we had a very timely reminder on the experience that we had that day that these things happen very quickly. You often don't get time to be able to think. Yes, some people do have a time in their trouble to be able to consider these things. Sometimes people don't. And perhaps tonight you may be the same, thinking that you know exactly how to get saved. I would urge you tonight to settle the matter of your salvation. You may have heard the message of the gospel many, many times, but I would urge you tonight to settle in and seek to settle that matter with God. I was saved at 7. I grew up. I probably really didn't know what I was saved from, and I grew up, and like many young people, went into my teenage years, never really got into any great sin, but didn't make any great progress with God in my teenage years. And I had one real passion as a young man in my teens, my late teens, and that was cars. I really liked, and still do to a certain extent, like fast cars. I got drawn into the world of rallying with a friend of mine, and we competed very strongly in my late teens and my early 20s. And while there was no harm in the work, the sport itself, it was where it took me to. Because you probably have worked out already, I'm a fairly competitive person. I like to succeed, I like to win. And that was the same in the rallying. And whenever you win, you need to turn up at the end of the night to get your prize. And inevitably, where we turned up at the end of the night was not the place that a Christian should have been. It was hotels, and there was drinking, and there was bars. Now, I never partook of that. Thankfully, the Lord preserved me from all of that. But the company wasn't good. I justified in my own mind that I was clean from all of that and I could stay aside from it. But nevertheless, the Lord troubled me very, very strongly. I enjoyed the sport. I enjoyed the competition. But it came to a breaking point that I could not continue with that environment that I was in. And the Lord brought an intervention into my life at that stage in my late teens, early 20s. And he brought two things into my life. He brought a very good woman into my life, a woman who I eventually married. But he also brought trouble into my life at that time. Those two things are not one and the same. The trouble was different from the good woman. I met Jenny, and she was from Free Presbyterian background. I was still attending the Gospel Hall. Normal walk of life, we wouldn't have met, but the Lord convened it so that we did meet, and we started going out with each other. I was still involved in the rallying, still involved in cars, and that was the thing that the Lord used to speak to me. So one night, traveling home from Port Stewart, I rounded a corner. Jenny, thankfully, wasn't with me in the car. Another friend was in the car. A notorious accident hotspot just outside Coleraine. I lost control of the car, slid across the road, went into a ditch, hit a gate post, and landed in the roof of my car back out in the middle of the road. And it was a really, really traumatic experience for me. Another young fellow was with me in the car. Thankfully, there was nobody coming the other way. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here tonight to tell the story. But as I was crawling out of that car that night, the tailgate of the car opened, and I crawled out on the roof of that car. There was a packet of photographs that were in the side pocket of the car. And with it being upside down, they were all now lying in the roof. And those photographs were photographs of Jenny and I, as young people, seeing around and doing the things we do. It was a very forceful message to me that night as I crawled out in the roof of that car, preserved by the hand of God, a really telling reminder for the life that I was leading. And through that, the Lord spoke to me, and I then set myself to serve him at that stage. And then life progressed. I cut a lot out, but we got married. We have four children. You already know that my wife is the daughter of a Free Presbyterian minister, so there wasn't much of a debate as to where we would set up our church life, but I am tremendously happy to be in Free Presbyterian church circles. I believe it was the leading of the Lord that I would come there. We have four children. All four of them are saved. One of them is a deacon in Sandown Church. The second young fellow has just entered Whitfield College with the intention of being a missionary. My daughter is involved in video work for the denomination as well. And then our last son has just finished school and is out into the world of work. So we've been tremendously blessed as a family as we have dedicated the early stages of our life to him. I would say at this stage, I will tell you a little bit of my career and the leading in that. But what I have told you is the most important part of what I will tell you tonight. How the Lord reaches down and touches lives and draws sinner onto him, and through events and circumstances and connections, speaks to us, speaks to a never-dying soul, and draws that soul onto him and sets it for heaven and home. And I am eternally grateful tonight for those events that took place in my life, some of them painful, but I am eternally grateful for them because the Lord used them to speak to my soul. He preserved me at times, and then he called me to serve in a more purposeful way in the work of the church. I would ask you tonight, what are your priorities? As you sit here tonight, if you're unsaved, I hope what I've already said to you will speak to you. If you are saved and drifting in life, then it's not a happy place to be. I would encourage you tonight to get the best out of your life and to serve the Lord who saved you in the most purposeful way that you can. And that's probably the next part of my journey in terms of my work. I often remember those words in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And while I will tell you a little bit of that journey just now, I would never have made the journey from a young man, age of 17, left school before I could finish my A-levels, if I could have finished them, and got out into a world of work, and progressed through that career that I had. I started as an apprentice engineer in BT. I moved from the engineering into the sales. Of course, there was sales was in my blood. My father was a manager in a shoe shop. He eventually owned it. I was selling shoes whenever I was 12 or 13. So sales was always something, I suppose, that was in my blood. So I moved into the sales side in BT, then into management. And through a series of progressions within the organization, I ended up on the board as one of the youngest directors at the age of 35 to be on the board of BT, one of the top five companies here in Northern Ireland. I did not make that journey on my own strength. The Lord opened doors for me. The Lord helped me to progress. At times of choices in my career, I sought the Lord, prayed to him for leading and guidance, and he did lead and guide in those decisions. During that time, I was always being tested. I liked the challenge. I was always being tested. I took on new opportunities, and I was always being developed, and that's how I made the progression. Step by step. And I know that there are perhaps people here tonight starting out in careers or midway in careers. It's good to be ambitious. The Lord doesn't want us to quell any of that, but it's important to have it in its right place. Ambition is good, provided it doesn't take over your life. And I can say that at times in my career, there are times it's very hard to get that balance whenever you've got a fairly big job. And sometimes those jobs can take over. And they can take over more and more of your time. And I definitely felt that at stages in my career, and I'll tell you a little of that in a moment. And then in 2007, a new door opened for me. I was running the BT business organization on a north-south basis. I was 3 days in Dublin, 2 days in Belfast, running a team of about 400 people on the island of Ireland. And I suppose I was getting a little bit unsettled, and this is part of my journey. The Lord at various times unsettled me, becoming unsettled with that journeying and traveling and missing meetings and all of those things. And then an opportunity came along. I was asked by Dr. Paisley, who is a connection in our family clearly, if I would be interested in becoming an economic advisor to him as he went into government in 2007. And that was a really difficult challenge for me. I had a really good career in BT, but I really wanted to do something, not only for him, and yes, I wanted to do something for him, but I had got a desire to try and do something more for my country. I'd served for a company for a long time, but I'd wanted to do more for my country. And I saw this as an opportunity. I prayed about it. We prayed as a family about it. And we felt that the unsettling in my work and this door opening and the ability to do something in a wider context was the leading of the Lord. And in May 2007, I took a one-year secondment from BT to become economic advisor to the First Minister, as he was at that stage. A tremendous time, time of real opportunities, time of tremendous learning for me. Hadn't been involved in that environment anywhere before. And a time of really starting to bring some of my career journey together as I developed in that role. At the end of that, in June 2008, I went back at the end of secondment to BT. There was a bit of a deal on the secondment. The deal was I had resisted the draw to go to London to head office for many years, and the deal was they would give me the 1 year secondment to go and work for the First Minister. Whenever that was up, I would go to London, and I agreed to that. So I ended up working in London. I didn't move. I commuted, went out on a Monday, back on a Thursday. And I enjoyed that at the start, but it became very, very difficult after 6 or 7 months of commuting backwards and forwards. I was missing out a lot at home. I was missing out a lot in my church work. Again, the Lord started to unsettle things for me. And the job for InvestNI was advertised at this time. I got a bit of a bite for that contribution to my country, and I applied for the job, and I suppose then the 10 years that went beyond that point are a matter of history. I thoroughly enjoyed the job for itself, but now as I look back in hindsight, I can see a lot of things in both of those roles that the Lord was preparing me for something else. I thoroughly enjoyed the work, but it was a great privilege to serve the place that I call home. And I did that with all of the strength and might that I had, and with some success, and I thank God for that tonight. But it was also great experiences for me as well. I had the privilege of meeting with some people around the world, with princes and presidents, world leaders, and it really opened my eyes, I suppose, in that role to the things, the connections that we can make and the doors that can be opened. But I also had the opportunity to widen my international experience. We have 23 offices around the world, and I had the opportunity to travel to all of those and to work with people of different cultures, different creeds. And while that was nice on its own, now, as a representative in the missionary work, I can see how beneficial that is and how the Lord was using that in terms of the progression in my life. And then the latest step, I suppose the last 6 or 9 months, I had a very busy job at InvestNI, 600 people and all of the responsibility that you can imagine that goes along with that. But the Lord was drawing me more and more into his work, and at times I struggled with this. Doors were opening in the Lord's work, but they weren't closing in my secular world. I was getting more involved, as Mr. McMillan has said, in the missionary work, more involved in LTBS, more involved in the Charity Commission, and all of the things that I was supposed to be doing in my home congregation as a deacon there, as the missionary secretary, and leading on some projects at our homework. And it came to a head. Actually, it's quite remarkable that I'm here tonight, because it came to a head in this building 2 years ago. The mission board met in this building. The week of prayer was being held in this region, and the mission board met downstairs in this building in January 2 years ago. At that stage, our brother George McConnell had indicated he wanted to retire as treasurer, and the mission board were looking for someone else to take that on. I was assistant treasurer, but George was doing all the work. I was just doing pieces in behind the scenes. And here was a big question. And I had a big debate in my mind that night. How could I take on extra work as the full-time treasurer of the mission board, and all that was entailed in that, because I knew exactly what was entailed, and still carry on doing my day job. I was getting more involved in LTBS at that time as they were setting up a TV studio. How could I take that on and still be involved in my secular work? And I struggled with that. I struggled with all of the challenges that the Lord brought before me. And then the incident that we had in Dublin. And again, the Lord used that incident to speak to me very strongly and speak to me about what I was doing, about this balance between my secular life and my increasing desire and increasing doors opening in the church work. I was being very fulfilled in the mission work. I love the missionary work of our church and our denomination, but I wanted to travel more. We needed to travel overseas. I was involved in the registration of our entities in both Uganda and Kenya. That meant we had to travel to do meetings there. I was struggling with the time to be able to do that on an annual basis. And again, this was another issue. And then my wife and I were at the Congress in America that year, and I was in conversation with someone, and just about people serving the Lord at the latter part of their career as opposed to going into full-time service at the start of their career in the way that my son is. And this man said to me, he said, the biggest issue we have in America is there are people who have very good careers, and they get to a point where they retire at 55, 56, and they're involved in church work, but they retire at 55 or 56. They're wealthy, independent, and they go off to Florida and they play golf for the next 10 years, and they don't make any contribution to the Lord's work. And it really spoke to me. I had no intention of going to Florida and playing golf, but the underlying message was there, and it really, really spoke to me. And together with my wife, we discussed these matters. And then at the end of 2008, Dr. Douglas came to hold a Bible conference in Ballymena. He spoke on Joshua and going over Jordan. And actually, coincidentally, it was at that Bible conference that my son Glenn was spoken to and eventually decided to go into the Bible college. And another thing that Dr. Douglas said that day, completely unconnected with Joshua going over, was about the 2.5 tribes. And he spoke a whole message on the 2.5 tribes. And this is basically a story of tribes of people who were saying to God, God said to them, you need to go over Jordan and serve me fully. And these people were saying, well, we've been very prosperous, and you have prospered us in our farming and in our land. Why don't we just stay where we are and continue to serve you? So disobey the command to go over and just stay where we are because you've prospered us. You've brought us to this point. Surely it must be your will for us to continue to do that. And the Lord had prospered those 2.5 tribes to that point. But at that point, he commanded them to leave that behind and to cross over into the promised land. And really, through that, it really, really spoke to me that why the Lord had prospered me to that point, and I had gathered so much knowledge and experience to that point and really enjoyed my career, and the Lord opened many doors to get me to where I was, that was the point in time where the command had changed. And things were becoming a little bit unsettled in the employment side, and what was going on there. And clearly, that was what it was. So the Lord had prepared me with experiences and knowledge that I can use in his work, and I could clearly see that. He had also provided for me to allow me to take the step that I've now taken, which is to step away from a full-time career and seek to serve him in a more full way in all of the work of the church. And that is the plan that lies ahead of us just now as I start on that journey. I finish my full-time employment at the end of November. I can look back in my career and see many things that the Lord drew me into that today I can use in his work. And I want to leave that as a challenge to you tonight. You know, I don't know, maybe you work in marketing or IT, maybe you work in a legal department, maybe you work in a finance team. Those are all things that are needed in the Lord's work. In my career, I had a technical career at the very start. The Lord used that and still does to allow me to give some support to the LTBS work and the TV ministry that I'm involved in. I also was involved in fairly large financial commitments and ran a fairly large budget in both of the two main jobs that I held that I've told you about tonight. And now the Lord is leveraging that, using that as treasurer of the mission board, and I thank him for the opportunity to do that. I also gained a lot of business knowledge, how to set up companies, how to structure them, how to sell them, how to manage all of those things, and that has been tremendously used as we have sought to set up our registration in various parts around the world and set them up properly. I also gained a lot of government knowledge, how to work with government, how to write documents and to set things up properly. And again, that has been used through the development of the constitutions for the churches across Ulster and the work supporting the presbytery in the charity registration process. But also the international knowledge that I've gained and been able to leverage that around how to support people with visas and all of the processes that go on our missionary work. I can clearly see now, looking back, all of those experiences and how I can use them in the Lord's work. And I would encourage you tonight, as you think of the things that you can do, wherever you are in that journey in your work, I would encourage you to think of what you can do. I do want to leave a little bit of a gospel message with you just as I close. You will know those verses in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16 to 21. For the purpose of time, well, maybe I'll just read you those verses. Luke chapter 12, 16. "And he spake of a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" I think this is another man's testimony. A man who was prosperous. We can see that in verse 16. We can see that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So the Lord had blessed this man. He had brought forth plentifully, and he was prosperous. We can see in verse 17 he had problems. He actually had brought forth so plentifully that he hadn't room to store it. So in verse 18 we can see that he planned. And he planned to build. But in those three verses, you will find no mention of the word God. No involvement of God in either his acknowledgement around the prosperity, his acknowledgement of the problems, or his planning for the future. God was not in his plans. He planned to build the barns and build greater barns to hold his fruit. And then he planned to retire. He says in these verses, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So there are some parallels. This man was prosperous. He made plans, and he planned to retire. But God was not in those plans for this man. And then we see what happened in verse 20. "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And I would urge you tonight to consider those words. Think of your eternal future. Wherever you are in that journey, whether you're prosperous or not, whether you've made plans or not, whether God is in those plans or not, I would encourage you tonight to stop and think. Think of the journey you're on. Think of where you're heading to. Think that if God was to say to you tonight, the words in verse 20, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee," then where would your soul be? Amen.